David, beyond Mars, what do you think of Venus and the possibilities there?
Well, you know, Venus long ago was thought to be kind of like the Earth was in a primitive stage, and you could imagine all sorts of things because it's cloaked in a thick blanket of clouds. You can't really see the surface at all. Today, we know that Venus is a very hot place. The surface is hot enough to melt lead, even hot enough to melt zinc. So you're not going to really expect life on the surface of Venus today. But just as in the case of Mars, a long time ago, 3 billion-plus years ago, it could have been a much different story. There could have been vast oceans on Venus. There could have been life on Venus. Now, the question is, if there was, what's happened to it today? In the case of Mars, we think that if there's anything on the surface, yeah, that's fine, but some of it will have gone below the surface to escape the harsh conditions. On Venus, the opposite may have happened. It may actually have gone up into the atmosphere, and that's one of the topics we cover in our book. It's an unexpected discovery, really, and a kind of an unusual possibility that Venus might have life. We tend to discount it, but we do know that particles exist in the atmosphere of Venus, which are similar in size to bacteria. It's a dense atmosphere. They could be buoyed up there for weeks on end, multiplying. You could actually have an atmospheric life there about 30 miles above the surface in what's called the lower cloud deck. It's an intriguing possibility.
Well, that is one heck of a planet. Now, beyond, though, Mars, and we go out to the farther-reaching planets out there, their moons, David, seem more interesting than the planets themselves.
I know. And that, again, is a huge surprise because traditionally you think of anything beyond Mars as being almost a frozen wasteland. There's so little heat out there that, you know, you get out to Jupiter and the temperature, the surface of anything there is going to be about minus 150 Celsius. You know, that is just so cold. It makes Antarctica look tropical by comparison. You just can't imagine any life out there at all. And yet now we know that there are underground oceans, certainly on Europa, which is one of the moons of Jupiter, possibly on a couple of other big moons of Jupiter, Callisto and Ganymede, and going further afield to the Saturn, which is more than twice the distance of Jupiter. You've got moons there as well. Titan, the big moon of Saturn,
sure,
which could have an underground ocean and could even have life on its surface. It's got a dense atmosphere. It's the only moon in the solar system known to have a thick atmosphere. It's actually thicker even than the Earth's.
And methane lakes, right?
And methane lakes. So you've got hydrocarbon lakes on the surface. You've got a drizzle of hydrocarbon coming down from this thick atmosphere. You've got organics being produced high up by interaction with the radiation from Jupiter's radiation belts. You've got a lot of interesting stuff going on the surface, and we know even actually, surprisingly, of hydrocarbon lakes on Earth. There's one in Trinidad, for instance, which supplied a lot of the asphalt on which New York was built, oddly enough. It's a very curious place. It's a sort of a big, tarry pool. You can almost walk across it. It's so thick. And you would imagine there's not going to be anything alive in this thing, you know, this black, syrupy asphalt. But sure enough, there are organisms living in there. We know it. In fact, my co-author on this book has actually experimented in this lake, and they've produced these extremophiles that are living in this hydrocarbon lake, very similar to what you find on Titan. So there is the possibility of life on the surface of Titan, living in these methane and ethane lakes, as well as underground on Titan as well. It's a very, very interesting place.
Are we going to explore these moons, David?
Well, yes, I think we are eventually. As you know, so much at the moment in the space program is up in the air, whether you're talking about NASA or the Europeans or other agencies. So much depends on the politics and on the budgets. But there are projects that are aimed at the moons of Jupiter and Saturn. And, you know, we're hoping within the next 10 or 15 years, sounds a long way off, but that maybe a probe will be sent out to explore the Jupiter system, especially focusing on Europa. Hopefully would include a lander. There's some money going into that. It'll be a joint mission between the Europeans and the and NASA. But again, it's hard to set a timescale on these things. We are looking at least 10 years out before anything can get on the launch pad. But they're very high priority as far as astrobiologists are concerned. Certainly something that we ought to be doing, for goodness sake, you know. We spend money on all kinds of things. We can surely spend a little bit on looking for other life on nearby worlds. It seems to me it would be a very interesting subject to explore.
Do you think SETI is wasting its time sending out the radio frequencies and trying to listen for radio frequencies?
Well, it's hard to say. It's like we said before, it's an all or nothing affair. If we get a message tomorrow, then everything they've done is justified. If they don't, then they're whistling in the wind, basically. I think it's a long shot. I've always thought it was a long shot. I think it's something we have to do because it's kind of like a possibility we have to be able to check off and eliminate. We really need to see if it will work. But what we're expecting is that there's something out there, some creatures out there, that are roughly at the same technological level as we are. In other words, using radio waves for communication. Well, that to me seems unlikely. It seems to me that 500 years from now, we're going to find some form of communication, maybe based on quantum principles or on something else that works faster than the speed of light, that doesn't involve radio waves. So it's a long shot. I don't think it's a waste of time. I think it's just highly improbable that we're actually going to hear anything.
You know, when you look at the movie Independence Day,
yeah,
where, you know, we wake up in the morning and there are huge craft from unknown planets all over the place, you know, trying to take advantage of us poor Earthlings.
Mm.
Is that a real possibility, David? Can that happen one day?
Well, it wouldn't surprise me at all if we were being watched. You know, simply because we are reaching that stage ourselves, we can now detect nearly Earth-like planets. Over the next few years, we're going to be announcing the discovery of Earth-like planets. That's what the Kepler mission is designed to do. Once we have identified Earth-like planets, we will be able to analyze the atmosphere of those worlds and look for signs of life, which I'd be very surprised if we didn't find. We will be able to look for subtle signs of technological life, such as pollutants in the atmosphere. And of course, if we can do that at our relatively primitive stage, then any beings out there within really thousands of light years of the Earth have been doing the same thing to us. They've been watching us.
Sure.
They've been watching the evolution of Earth. So as soon as life appeared here, as soon as we had, for example, primitive plants that began to transform the atmosphere and pour oxygen into the atmosphere, that's an immediate sign of life. So going back even millions of years, any other intelligence that has been monitoring worlds as we are today, beginning to do today, would have highlighted the Earth as something of special interest, and they would have continued to monitor us over the ages till today. We are, you know, changing our planet. We're pumping gases into the atmosphere that are very indicative of a technological civilization. They'll know we're here. And what would we do if we found another planet, say, 100 light years away, that we saw obviously had intelligent life on it? We would make every effort to find out more about it.